you can, it's the WTO report, which you had in front of you, which we went through, and you need to look at that report. There's nothing new, we're just waiting to adopt it. So, do you want to put up that last page for members to refresh their members? No, we're not changing a thing. You can't change something at this stage. Now, there it is, and it was not adopted. All right. Now, we're going to be, some of you have asked me, what are we doing first, etc. We need a quorum for two things that cannot be put off. Because they have to be adopted, these reports. And the one is the WTO. I've just put that forward. The other thing is the Eastern Cape, which should have been adopted last Friday or Thursday, which again was postponed for the sixth time. It is a report that's been with you for 4 months. Nothing new is added. I have asked one or two people, I understand Honourable Kovasa has handed a copy or cited it to the whip. I've also given a copy to Honourable Elvis, who's also on the trip, who was looking at that and making some changes and also looking at recommendations to put in writing. So I've got one recommendation here from what I can see, and that is from Honourable Elvis here now. Are there any other recommendations coming in for Eastern Cape? When you come to that in a minute, please raise your hand. The WTO report. Members, you can see it up there. We've changed nothing, absolutely nothing. It's simply ready for the ATC. So I need somebody who was present at the World Trade Organization, among others, institutions we visited in Geneva, to propose adoption. Honourable Kovasa, seconded by Honourable Kotze, Wright and Albert. So, are there any objections? The WTO report is passed, and will be on the ATC tomorrow. The next report, which some of you, again, were not present, were not on the trip, was the Eastern Cape. Now, it could be that some of you forgot to bring them with you, and I mean, that's quite understandable, because you weren't alerted again. So, is there anyone who feels they can't remember the report, even though it was distributed again last week, who may need a copy? I think now's the time to raise your hand. I'm looking for any hands in this regard. Honourable Albert?
Madam Chair, can I just have a copy of that report? I don't have it with me.
We'll make four copies. Four copies, is that in order? Right. We now have going to be dealing with that any minute. The minutes are put there purely in the hope that we'd have a quorum by the time we completed the intellectual property. But I'm making an appeal to all of you to remain until we've adopted the Eastern Cape report. I know we all have other exigencies. Won't take that long. I know that we've been putting this off. It should have been done Friday, but it's just as well we didn't, because we now have a full house. Can I put it here? It's not that we have to adopt this. It's not a report we're producing. It is a position on the way forward. We're nowhere near dealing with the final aspects of the intellectual property bill before us. So it's the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Bill. However, I would like, we had a task team that did report to this committee. Honourable September, you will remind me, I think it was Thursday, was it not, last week. But there was a report, I think, in this regard. And I'm really appealing to the Honourable September to just refresh our memories on just the key issues that we needed to conclude on. I need to tell you that we certainly need to take a position on how we begin to process the final phase, if I can put it that way. So at this stage, Honourable September, do you wish to put comments on anything?
No, Chair.
Right. Are there any other inputs, Honourable Hajebe?
On the issue of the IFP.
Yes, that's
the perfect point. All right. No, thank you, Chairperson. I think that the starting point would be the issue of thanking the task team which was dealing with it, with the work on the IP, for the excellent work they produced. And also thank the department for the work they've done. And then also thank all the stakeholders who were able to leave whatever they're doing to come and participate in Parliament here. I think what is also critical on the whole issue is that we had divergent views from the various stakeholders. But what has happened is that the stakeholders which matter, who are the custodian of indigenous knowledge, they were all agreed on one thing, that there's some sort of protection must be done on the issue of the IP. And then this being the House of Traditional Leaders, which we met in the Eastern Cape, also being the Contra Lesa, which came here to Parliament, also being the Orania movement, which represented the Africaners of Orania, who also supported the concept that at long last the indigenous knowledge is being protected. Although everyone across the board agreed that it was not a perfect solution, but it was a good start. So I think that it will be advisable for this committee to take the process forward and accept the bill as it stands, and then process it through the processes of the portfolio committee, so that at least by January next year, it is concluded that we take it straight to the House. Thank you, Chair.
Right, there's the one position there. Honourable Harris.
Thanks, Chair. I appreciate the whip's, the sentiments of the whip's words, but in my entire involvement in this process, I've yet to meet anybody who doesn't think we need to protect traditional knowledge. So I think it's time to...
Sorry, I
missed that. Chair, I was saying in my entire involvement in this process, I've yet to meet a single person or group that doesn't think we need to protect traditional knowledge. So I think we can stop saying that, actually. Every single person is in agreement. The question before us, I think, is whether we accept the bill in its current form or not. And I submit that most people would agree that we don't accept the bill in its current form. And then if we don't, we're faced with a choice. We either amend the bill significantly based on all the input we got, or based on a significant number of presenters, we go back to the drawing board and we design a piece of legislation that doesn't amend four existing acts, but rather creates a new piece of legislation, sui generis. That's the decision the committee has to make.
Right.
Sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chair, the stage at which we are at this point is where this committee must now decide on the amendments that need to be made to the bill. I don't think that the question still arises as to whether we amend this bill or craft something totally different. I don't think we have gone past that stage. Although one needs to acknowledge that a number of people who came to make presentations did make the point that they did not think that this bill, the amendment, was a proper route to take. But it is quite evident that to those whom this bill matters, the whole question of the protection of traditional knowledge through intellectual property, are saying to this committee, go ahead, amend this bill, and protect traditional knowledge through this bill. Now, it would be unfortunate if this committee were to go back and fight over whether it's this amended bill or something else. I think we must move forward and amend this bill. Of course, there are a whole lot of things that must be included arising from the public hearing in the bill. I think we are at a point where we are saying the bill as it stands is insufficient, and therefore we must take stock of the inputs that have been made, use those inputs to further amend the bill in a much more comprehensive way for Parliament to pass. Thank you, Chairperson.
Right. Honourable Kadebe, do you want to speak now or later? Because I see Honourable Kotsi wishes to say something, and then Honourable Njikalana, Honourable Elbert, Honourable Kadebe. I mean, you may repeat points. You know, not repeat points, but speak again, rather.
Thank you, Chair. I would say perhaps there has been a view that this bill might not stand the constitutional challenges. I think we need our legal parliament now, not department, parliament legal people to look into that for us. Therefore, we do need that legal advice from Parliament. The second issue, Chair, I would really want to say there was indeed a strong view about two generals. But there was also another view as well that was accepting this bill. I would like us, I think, in the last meeting, the department was not, they were not ruling out of going this bill and perhaps looking at another, the sui generis way as well. Therefore, I would say that let's not close any doors for now. Let's go ahead with this bill. If there is a need perhaps for that part, that we would as well accommodate. My concern as well is that I still want to say this is not an easy piece of legislation. It would need us, in the process of doing it, to be very tight on regulations, because we cannot pass a bill that is not implementable. And I know there has been such bills before that afterwards then the implementation is a problem. I think as a committee, for us it is to make sure what we pass at the end is something that can be implemented. which therefore would need some tight regulations around it. What am I saying here, Chair? I'm saying I agree that we go ahead, but we also take the even the department, when they were here last week, they did admit to the fact that these could actually go concurrent, and I think we should not rule that out. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Kotsi, Honourable Njikalana.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just two things. The first one is, I hope I did pick up the previous speakers correctly when they were saying that one of the reasons why we need to review the bill or the process of, going through this piece of legislation is that there is a majority view in terms of, approaching the whole process differently to say that we should have it, redone from scratch. However, I know I speak guardedly because I was not around. But what I would like just the committee to help me with, probably others as well, was that is that the case that there's substantially a majority view or just a majority view? My assumption is that if you get a representative such as traditional leaders, they don't represent themselves. They represent quite a broader community. So we need to be clear about, that assumption. And beyond that, my understanding was that as a committee or a parliamentary committee, there is a rationale or there are conceptual and procedural approaches to processing a deal vis-a-vis public hearings. Much as public hearings are a platform to influence us, at the end of the day, we as the committee are vested with the duty of processing any piece of legislation looking at substantial issues. I'm really this chair because I'm just a bit uneasy about this, the reason of, taking a different direction because of a majority view. I'm sure in the history of this democratic parliament, there's been quite a number of pieces of legislation which have gone through with a lot of controversy, but at the end of the day, we as leadership had to take a certain decision and take a certain position. I'm just raising those things, they are both procedural but also rather conceptual. But are we supposed then to stop doing, or are we supposed to review our work because of what is regarded as a majority view? But obviously, I would like to be guided so that I can make a valuable input later that what is the take of the committee? What were the inputs that were, pointing in a different direction as opposed to processing the bill towards its conclusion as it is? Were they in the majority? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Njikalana. I think it was Honourable Albert. I did see your hand there, Honourable Harris and Smiley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with Mr. Honourable Harris's contention to a degree. The problem that we're grappling with is that the DTI has indicated that the protection this will grant will be for commercial interests. So it has a commercial objective, and it doesn't speak to the other objectives with regard to preservation and development and so forth of indigenous knowledge systems. And in that regard, other legislation can be created to speak to that and inform that, those objectives. However, I'm a bit uncomfortable to say that the bill as it is acceptable. I think we need more time on this. The reason why I'm saying this, I've again spoken to the team in Geneva, our embassy in Geneva, and they are adamant that sui generis is the way to go and that the DTI is making a mistake. The question I have to ask myself is that if we go the sui generis route, what type of instruments or mechanisms, what type of design will that sui generis legislation take to give adequate protection akin to the IP system? In other words, also protecting the commercial interests of indigenous communities. And I've actually asked that question to the DTI. They actually neglected to answer that comprehensively. Because I still need to understand if there are any other designs, and if there are not, then obviously if we're speaking about a sui generis design, then we have to come up with something brand new that's never been created before, and that is, of course, a huge challenge. we don't want to copy exactly what the IP regime is doing if the IP regime is there and it can protect. But at the same time, I want to be sure that there's no other instruments out there that could actually work much better than the IP system, and which will obviously need a sui generis system. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On my notes here, I had Honourable Fadebe, but thank you, and then followed by Honourable Harris.
All right. Thank you, Chairperson. I want to help my colleague, Honourable Jigalana. I think the starting point here is the issue that this bill is now in the hands of the Portfolio Committee. It is the Portfolio Committee which must decide and process it. So we can have, because the Portfolio Committee is the only body recognized by the Constitution to process a bill of this nature. So what is critical here, we might have a dip from the public opinion, but at the end of the day, we as the Portfolio Committee have to take decisions. And then it is within our right to accept or even to reject what is coming from the public opinion, because what we have here is the interest of the country at heart. So what is critical here is that the starting point, this bill must be processed by us, and then we must make a decision. Number two, it will be the issue of, in effect, from the various presentations you had during the public hearing, there's one thing. One, the issue of mainstreaming the IP is very critical. We cannot have a knowledge like indigenous knowledge within South Africa being treated as if it is the stepchild of the other knowledge within the country. So it is critical that that knowledge is also mainstreamed. It becomes part of the main knowledge of the country. So if all the other knowledge is being protected, why not protect this one? So that's why I'm happy that everyone across the board agrees that this IP must be protected. But what is critical here is that this is a starting point. This is a starting point. That's why even the House of Traditional Leaders, Contra Lesser, even Orana Movement said that although the bill is not perfect, but it is a good starting point. And then if you look again on the issues of commercialization, it's correct that the department ensures that the people who generated the IP must be able to benefit commercially. So the issue of taking this thing on the hands of IP, into the hands of IP, is very critical. But also at the same time, we have to acknowledge that there are certain aspects of indigenous knowledge which cannot be protected by this bill, which will demand that some time later we come with a new legislation, a generous type of legislation, which is going to deal with the aspects which cannot be protected here. But here, as a starting point, it is critical, because really, we've been in this democracy for about 16 years. It's actually not right that 16 years down the line, the indigenous knowledge has not yet been protected. So I think this is the starting point. I think that let us take this bill as it is. When we say we amend the bill, we accept this bill because it's coming from the department. But what we do, as we
we unfold the process forward. We have to incorporate the inputs which came from the public, so that we amend certain sections of the bill, or even apart from amending, we can add even new sections. It is within our power to do that. So I think that the issue of dealing with this bill like that is correct. When we go to the issue, Honorable Albers, what is raising, the issue of WIPO, our people in Geneva, even in WIPO, they are looking at us as South Africa, that we are going to break new ground, because they've also been grappling with this issue of indigenous knowledge for many years. So that's why they said that when we were there, that they are waiting keenly for us to take a decision. I think that we as South Africa, we are not afraid of taking decisions. We have done things which people wish we were never thought we'd be able to do, but we're able to pull them off. So this is one such a challenge that we're faced with. Let us do what our country expects of us. Let's process this thing. Let it go, but at the same time, urge the department that it must come, those aspects which... those aspects of the IP, indigenous knowledge, which cannot be protected by this amendment bill, let the bill be rolled out so that we deal with it. But this one, we cannot take it back because the time is not on our side. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Harris?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, can I submit that we don't yet have enough information on the alternative? We know that if the one proposal is to amend the existing IP laws in order to protect traditional knowledge, the department's given us a bill, they've acknowledged there's major problems with it, and presumably we will be able to work through the process of amending that. But that doesn't change the fact that in the public hearings, the vast majority of people who presented suggested that it wasn't the correct approach to amend the three existing laws, and instead we needed to create a sui generis act or law. Now, I suggest we don't know enough about how a sui generis law would look. We don't know what the alternative would look like. Can I therefore suggest that we invite somebody like perhaps Professor Owen Dean, who told us and submitted a draft sui generis bill, and we compare that to what we have on the table? Because for some of the members to suggest that we've gone beyond the point where we're considering sui generis, it just doesn't reflect the reality of the hearings. The vast majority of people who presented said sui generis is a better option, but this committee doesn't know how that looks. So why don't we invite people who can talk to us about the sui generis option, perhaps talk us through their draft and how such a thing would look, and then we can make a decision between the two options.
Thank you, Honorable Harris. Honorable Smalley, I'm not sure, was that hand up?
Thank you, Chair. I think there's no way that we really could submit a bill that we know that has that have some question marks or loopholes in the bill. We as a committee have got to be clear on those on those issues. And the issue of if it could be or may be constitutional as it stands is a question that has got to be answered. And the approach to go forward if the answer says may, we as a committee should not be pushed into a time frame in order to get a bill through. And I think it's important that we do get all the, that we do look at all the options that are in front of us, and if amendments needs to be readdressed and needs to be redrafted, then we need to look at those clauses. And once the committee is totally satisfied with all the amendments, then we push the bill through. But if there are those question marks that has been raised by the public, and certainly we do represent the broader public, and we've got to take the interest of the public at heart. And we should not create uncertainty in that regard. And I would not like to go through a speed train where we just don't like to get to the finishing end. Let us rather just take a step back, do it properly, right, and do what is expected from of us as members of parliament.
Well, Well, September, do you wish to say anything, please?
Chair, well, of course, there's quite a number of divergent views on how we should move forward. Some of the other things that happened in the public hearings, also, Chair, is the fact that there's been quite a number of people that felt that certain clauses in the bill requires amendments, revamping, clarity, and all of that. So I think if we just take a step backwards and just reflect on some of those issues as a committee ourselves, I don't think that it's going to assist anyone to have a discussion here on too generous or not, too generous or not. What is it that we would want to achieve as a committee with this legislation? And one of the things that I think was quite, I think quite disturbing that came through in parts of the public hearings is the fact that quite a vast majority of people who are not sufficiently protected as we speak now, some of them even came via, you know, some people that assisted them. When we spoke to them on the side, they had quite a different story to say. So, of course, you know, we can say, look, out of 20 people that came, 19 said a particular direction. What is good for this committee is to look at what does this country require and its people. And one of the things that I think somebody else did say is of course, we urgently need protection of a particular sector of our society that are vulnerable, a particular sector of our society who at this point in time have not been able to be protected sufficiently to participate as equal partners in this economy. So I think all of those things should bother us, Chair. It can't be that we legislate for a particular sector in this community. And, of course, they've been quite dominant in the public hearings. Does that reflect the entire South Africa? Indeed, it does not, as far as I am concerned. So I think we must, on balance, look at what is it that we want to achieve. So I want to suggest, Chair, we've got the legal people here with us. Honourable September, you've put certain things to us. Which
I wasn't finished here. I was giving you an
opportunity. I was about to say, I was not aware that you had completed what you had done. So could you continue, please?
I was saying, Chair, that we've got the legal people here, both from Parliament and the State Law Advisor. There were some legal matters that we were concerned with, and I think we should afford them an opportunity also to reflect on that. That's the first one. The second one is, I think a number of members have said already that the bill can't go through as is. The bill does require some amendments. What do we suggest in that area? It's either we say that we would be crafting the amendments ourselves, which I think partly we should say which amendments we would like to have, or we would say that the department should take the bill, craft the number of amendments. We've heard what the lady, Ismay, I think it is her name, she's made quite a number of suggestions also, and it seems like they have been putting together some good work in that regard also. So there are options for us, Chair. There are a number of options. I don't believe that it would be correct to say that we don't understand Sui Generis, and therefore we now need to go all over Europe again to go and find some more people to come and tell us. What is important, as I end off, Chair, is what does the people in this country require? They require protection. They require equal participation in this economy.
and they require to be citizens that can also say that they have been afforded an opportunity to at this point be protected, and at this point to delay any further protection for those people in the economy is, I don't think it is the right thing. It's not responsible, irresponsible of us to do that. Thanks, Jane.
Thank you very much, Honourable September. I think it's a very fair approach there. Let me just check the message I've just received. Some of our members, of course, sit in more than one committee. And what would be helpful, though, is that if you just remain here for about 10 minutes and then by all means to shift across to your other portfolio committee, Arts and Culture. Thank you. I want to begin to close off, though, as I take the last few hands. They really need to... comment or whatever they do comment on needs to take us forward. Honourable Kwabasa, Honourable Khadebe.
Chair, I agree fully with what Honourable September is saying. But I just want to go back to the point that I think has been mentioned twice now. The point made that this bill, as it stands, might not stand the constitutional test. I think that we, as a committee, we made a request to be advised on a matter that related to TECI, and I think we did get that advice. I'm not so sure what other constitutional challenge arises beyond that from those who have made this point. My understanding is that besides the question of taking, which was not clear before we asked for this advice, has now been dealt with, and there is no other constitutional challenge that would arise if we amended the bid as it is. But secondly, Chairperson, I think the whip of the committee has made it clear that when we go ahead and amend this bill to protect traditional knowledge, we are not completely closing the door to other avenues of protection that might not necessarily be protected by this amendment. And so, Chairperson, I think that we should move ahead and amend this bill, and then perhaps at some point we'll have to go back and say which other aspects of traditional knowledge could not be protected by this amended bill, and therefore begin to look at other options, including sui generis.
Thank you for the input, Honourable Khadebe.
Yes, Chairperson, I think that it will be my last input around this issue. As I said before, that we appreciate that everyone across the board believes that the indigenous knowledge must be protected. Number two is that the department has done a good job in making a start to do with this amending of this, the four bills, in order to do that. But what is also critical is also that we cannot ignore what the shortcomings of the bill as it appeared during the public hearing. So what I'll appeal for is that we, at this stage, we cannot reject this bill. But what we can say is that let the department come with the amendments which were suggested as we were dealing with this bill before, so that at least by January we have the bill with the amendments. The way I think what the Honourable Kosi said before is that we can have what we want in that system. We can have the bill as it is now. And then in the blanket, in the bold, next to each and every clause, put what can be changed so that we can have compliance with that. So that when we come back in January, we really engage that. Because the issue of constitutionality, as Honorable Thomas has said, has been addressed. I think that we had the legal advice coming through. We had the response even from the department about the issue. And then again, the last part will be the issue that we as the committee, we cannot also pass a bill which is not going to stand the test of the Constitutional Court. I think that will be irresponsible if we are going to do that. But I think that we cannot hold back. We cannot hold back. We had all this, you know, with this bill, I don't think that there is any committee in this parliament which has done to a bill what we have done. Honorable Chairperson, we went to the WTO. We went to WIPO. We called all the experts. We had a workshop here in parliament. And even those workshops even empowered the department itself. So I think that we have done quite a thorough job in doing this thing. But what is critical now is that we must make a decision. One decision, as suggested by Honorable Ghost sometimes, we have put those things which must be done, which must be amended within the bill. Let us have this bill as it is, and then next to each and every clause, have a bold type of writing which indicates what can be changed. So that when we come in January, we look at that, so that we decide whether we take this thing forward or not. So if there are certain aspects which are not covered by that, they must also indicate in which part of the law is that. So that even those laws which are not here, let's say they must be with us and culture, they must be with science and technology, they must be able to indicate that this aspect is covered by a particular law. So that at least we take a comparative. Honorable Chairperson, we can no longer delay. I think that we have to take this decision. We have to move forward, take this thing forward. I think that with all fairness, we have done what was supposed to be done, what is humanly possible to do. Let's take this bill forward in that format. I think that everyone will be covered. Thank you, Chair.
I really need to close. You'll have the last word, but I am closing after you. I'm not reopening, because I want to make a ruling now and take us forward. Honourable Harris?
I understood, Chair. My last word is, if we can look each other in the eye and say that we honestly understand, Chair, how a sui generis piece of legislation would look and how it would operate, and we're prepared to look at that option and reject it, then that's fine. But I honestly don't think there's anybody in this committee who could do that. I'm happy with the whip suggestion. The department can carry on amending their proposed bill, but the committee needs to understand the sui generis option properly. So my suggestion on the way forward is that we convene a session where we consider exclusively the sui generis option, so that we know the decision we're going to make eventually. Thank you.
I need to just indicate one thing. That the department shouldn't be, according to my understanding of legislation, would not be amending its another version of another bill, because it's not one before us. You know, it would come as a surprise to me, I think, in any legal advocate, no, I'm not a lawyer, that they're now amending another version which they're going to ask to come here. I would find that strange, although, as I hasten to add, I am not a lawyer. I would, you know, Honourable September, I wanted to just close, but as you led this task team, please, just your final comment, please. Because I do want to go forward, and I must now caution other members, please don't raise your hands. I'll have to ask you to put them down. Honourable September?
Chair, I would submit that I'm sure you're going to give the legal people an opportunity. We can talk about workshops and, you know, many other workshops we can talk. I am happy to look into Honourable Harris's eyes, but I'm sure that we can... if you permit, shall we look in each other's eyes now?
In fact, both the committee secretary and myself were just, pursuing that, which is why we asked the advocate rather to come forward, so we could get her. Certainly I could see her, yes. So, advocate Rafael, it was so much easier to have just said that. Matabata. I hope I've got that right. Okay. Bate. We have had several On several occasions, we've called you in. We've also had written responses. Those of us who've been with us for some time now will know this is hardly new. So do go ahead. You've heard different points come up on the constitutionality issue. While we don't expect you to shoot from the hip, as it were, certainly if you have any comment to add, we do have written comments. Do make them now.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, Honourable Members. Chairperson, on the issue of constitutionality, the overarching issue was the tagging, which we have since dealt with. It was argued by the Legal Resources Center that the bill was incorrectly tagged. It should have been tagged a 76 as opposed to a 75. And the Constitutional Court has held that if Parliament tags incorrectly, that affects the constitutionality or validity of the bill. But we are of the view that it was correctly tagged because it does not seek to amend or in any way affect customary law. It just protects indigenous knowledge, which is not protected currently in terms of customary law. So that issue, I and Mr. Guetta from the Office of the Chief Legal Advisor have already addressed in writing. But there might also be issues with specific clauses in the bill, and if the committee should decide to amend to pass the bill and effect amendments, those will come up as the committee deliberates on the bill and will be addressed at that point. I can't at this point address all those. And then the issue of sui generis as opposed to passing an amendment bill, that is really for the committee. If it's a policy decision, either way, it's for the committee to decide. But what I need to inform the committee of is that should the committee decide that they are going to go with sui generis, this bill would have to be rejected. And a completely new bill, a process to introduce a new bill be started. And if the committee decides to undertake that itself, the committee would have to get the permission of the House to draft the legislation and then proceed to draft the legislation. But if sui generis is how the committee were to decide to go, this bill would have to be rejected first. That's all that I needed to bring to the committee's attention. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We do, of course, have the State Legal Advisors representative.
Yes.
Thank you. And thank you very much, Advocate.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm afraid I have to concur with my colleague, Mr. Matavata, regarding the issue of tagging, because the issue was raised by one commentator that the bill is repealing or replacing and amending indigenous law and customary law, which we disagree. The bill doesn't go deeper than just protecting traditional intellectual property. It doesn't even, its effect is not to tell the people on the ground that they should design their traditional knowledge in this way. Chair, I agree that the bill is incorrectly tagged as a section 75. But, Chair, the issue of the way forward, Chair, if the committee is thinking along the lines of moving along with the bill as it is, Chair, then the process would be for possibly the department. I'm sure the department noted all the areas in the bill that it wishes to propose amendments on. Therefore, Chair, what could happen, Chair, in terms of the role, Chair, is that there would have to be a formal list of proposed amendments that the department is going to submit to the committee and the committee to deliberate on and the committee to finally decide on to amend the bill itself, Chair. Therefore, those two documents will go hand in hand, Chair. It's not that it's going to be a completely new bill. A new bill, Chair, with, as Mr. Rufilo stated, Chair, would have to go along the lines of rejection and then a complete new redraft of the bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. I now wish to exercise my position as chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. Now, we've certainly been dealing with this bill for a long time. We were made aware of it last year. The bill was tabled, and we embarked on a broad grouping with, I think, three or four committees present, and a briefing was held in this regard. At that particular time, it did appear as if we should move, we could move rapidly ahead. You know, didn't seem to be that complex. However, we also became cognizant of the fact that one or two other committees had wanted to be there more regularly. We continued to invite them. Of course, in respect of arts and culture, as we all know, the chairperson, I believe, Whip will correct me, but I believe resigned from Parliament to take up another position. And up to that point was attending all members of that committee. It was most unfortunate that I didn't become aware that he had since left Parliament, and also was not aware that the Whip had also resigned. So it became a little difficult, and there was this vacuum, if you like, for about 3 months until yourself, Honourable Somali, who sits in that committee, alerted us to the fact they would like to come. And I indicated that they've always been welcome. Who's the chair? And that's, of course, when we had the when we learned officially of those changes, as it were. So certainly that was the one issue. The other issue was, again, I need to be corrected on this point, but the committee on that handles traditional affairs, local government and so on, also attended right at the beginning, and Honourable Holomisa, you know, who chairs that particular committee, came, I think, on two occasions and then sent someone else. However, they obviously didn't attend always. And like many of us, he wears one or two hats. One of them, I think, is directly connected in his capacity as a chief, if I may put it that way. And I got an official letter signed by the president of Controleza, which at the time are made available to members of the committee. Not all of you were members of the committee at that stage, indicating that they wish to be consulted in a broader way by the DTI. We certainly alerted the department to this by asking a direct question. Did you deal with this particular structure at that level, you know, at a particular level? They then did, engage with them, as we did. And we then, was one of the reasons why they were included, and we included a public hearing in the Eastern Cape, specifically to begin to deal with what was identified as a gap. So, you know, we dealt with that, and they then asked to return, which we did. That was the one issue. We then faced two other pieces of correspondence during the course of the year, indicating that the respective writers would take this to the Constitutional Court unless it was either withdrawn, retagged, or other changes made. On every occasion, we sought legal advice. There was another occasion when it was said in committee that, in fact, we were not developing our own position. Again, before every member was here. And that
this could also be very unconstitutional to simply be using DTI's advisors, if you like, which in fact was not the case at all. That was the irony of it. But in the absence of having employed someone, rather than speaking to people, as it were, we thought we may create the perception that we were not consulting with someone else. And we brought in the committee secretary, we'll just indicate, a university professor, UNISA, Kunrad Fusser. I don't know the man. Don't know the professor at all. But anyway, in seeking this, we communicated with a couple of universities, and it was indicated that this was somebody who had a background, an academic background, and possibly could assist. The person came and also spent, I think, a couple of meetings with us, workshop, and people could engage, and he then gave a position. We also had people who, in their input, right at the beginning, during that time, and I'm not talking of the public hearings at all times, came and, indicated publicly that, as a start, the bill was going to be thrown out by the Constitutional Court because it conflicted entirely with the Copyright Act, the current Copyright Act, which had now been incorporated, you know, as part and parcel of this new, of this proposed bill, piece of legislation before us. We looked into that matter. We also consulted our own consultant, who gave a very different position. However, when I had the opportunity to reflect on a number of issues, the committee was already of the opinion that this was certainly not a quick job. You know, this was not going to be a quick process. And I officially communicated that to the department, indicating that we needed to bring on board more consultants, we needed to seek international advice, and so on and so forth. And they had expected us to have passed this bill or rejected it or whatever by August, as it were. And that was our own thinking. So we had to put a halt to the process, and as we had already taken a decision to go to WTO, we utilized that opportunity to go and meet. And I'm not going to go into all, you've got the report in front of you. We engaged with these institutions. However, as the report itself states on that study visit there, we were somewhat alarmed when it seemed that we were going to be pioneering something and that we seemed better informed on certain issues than WIPO, or certainly as informed. And it was purely by chance that we encountered an NGO who specialized in this. We weren't visiting them for that reason, in fact. We were visiting them, if I recall, over climate and various other things. And to our surprise, and I'm sure you'll draw up that name for me in a minute, content specialist, we saw the agenda had on it intellectual property, or words to that effect. And I immediately left that meeting and asked to speak to the director of there and said, I know this appears unusual, but we need to change this program totally. In fact, we need to take off half the stuff and focus here, which we did, to the benefit of all of us. During the same engagement, we insisted, much to their shock and surprise, that they now come and workshop us. And we didn't only want those who would support the bill. We wanted the sui generis also, that side. So I said, when you come here, we want pros and cons. We cannot have somebody who totally supports this or who totally supports the other. We need to take a decision, not you. So can you put together an international team that can do that? And I must say, in my own experience of Parliament, it was possibly the most constructive workshop I have ever been to. Because it was a point for and against. In fact, if you, you know, some of them, in fact, one of the professors from England, I don't know, one of the universities there, was actually asked, and he'd given points for and against. So someone asked, do you, which way are you personally leaning to? We didn't stop this sort of questioning and engagement. He said he personally leaned towards sui generis. The only one who did say that in the workshop. However, as he put it, you can go for either this or that, because internationally there are many examples of this or that. And others came on board as well. We then were very pleased to learn that instead of having to run to UNISA all the time, we actually had highly qualified people in this field right here in Cape Town that we had not learned about. So why do I say this? I want to make it clear there was no fast-tracking of this piece of legislation by this committee. If anything, we now have the reputation of dragging our feet on this piece of legislation. And exactly when do I intend processing this? And we have taken the position that this committee will not process legislation towards adoption or rejection, because we can't take that decision as we sit here. But no bill that will come before the House once it is adopted by this committee in a report in the committee will be one that is not robust and cannot be defended by another government should such another government ever come into power. And that it will stand the test of a constitutional court. I am adamant about that. And anybody who has worked with me in finance knows I don't become part of bills that are going to be thrown out. So I want to make sure there is a clear understanding by all members of this committee that it is not the way I work at all. It is not the way the committee works. So, having said that, which may have sounded a bit alarming and a bit too strong, may I say one thing? Time was always a factor purely in December. I hasten to add, should any member want to be sitting close to Christmas, they are welcome to inform me. However, as chair, I took a position that we ought to begin to stop work after the first week of December. Yes, it was my decision. Because this committee needs a break. Most members have had what I call medical breakdowns at the work volume of work we're doing. We need a break. But that would also give this committee the opportunity to engage people that we've dealt with overseas and here to give us some support, as it were, in the amendments. There is absolutely no doubt that these will not be cosmetic amendments. That is clear, absolutely clear. I mean, there isn't a member of this committee who can sit here and tell me It's just a crossing of a T or dotting of an I. There are serious amendments that are required to this piece of legislation. And we can't do it ourselves. We can put what it is we want to put in there and get support on the legal front and the drafting front. Is it the first time Parliament has done this? No. I've looked at the Constitution myself, because I'm now using this as my second Bible. And from here, it is clear to me that as a portfolio committee, we have every constitutional right and legislative right to amend this bill dramatically and significantly. And therefore, and I'm just being, obviously, the committee secretary feels I ought to be referring to the rules occasionally, may, according to the rules and the process in committee, a committee may recommend approval or rejection of the bill or present its report with its report an amended bill, I'm reading out of the rules, or a redraft of the bill. That is our power and authority as Parliament. And must report to the Assembly in accordance with Rule 251. Certainly, I sit on the rules, the joint rules. I'm not aware that that rule has undergone a change. Now, that is what prevails as I talk. Now, what we're going to be doing, members, is, I'm just looking for where I wrote this. There were some points made here by a couple of members about a design process. I got the impression a design process may be along the idea of redrafting a bill. So I believe if that includes that, we are allowed to redraft the bill, as I've just indicated. But I believe that sufficient number of people, including those consulted by the committee as experts who are not employed by DTI or being consulted, that this bill or the intention of this bill and the manner in which it sought to achieve its objectives are in principle capable of standing the test of time, but with significant amendments to ensure not simply the protection of Indigenous knowledge, which is the primary and principal purpose, but also to ensure that, yes, the commercialization of that knowledge is. The time has come for people who think they can, with a cavalier approach, walk into our country or electronically communicate with us and rob us of what is rightfully belonging to South Africans and what is here without even offering a bead. Those days are gone. There will be no beads of any kind. This will be protected by legislation, I believe. And we will amend it in a manner that this committee believes accords with the objectives that we can agree with. This is going to take a lot of time, so fortunately we've been made aware that there are certain experts that do not, like me, need to take a holiday. They can work over December. They can work over January. And we will put certain things to them arising out of what you have said. But what I will do as chair, because it's the last week, I don't want to call another meeting as such, is that we will prepare something that we will begin to work on. And on the 30th, when you come here for a meeting on the company's piece of legislation, the bill, if you feel that we should have also got them to look at other clauses, you're welcome to. Or you can email me. But I think we have sufficient on the table for a year in front of us. And may I add, the genesis of this bill began in the last term. So it's hardly been railroaded through this parliament. If anything, this train has had the brakes on too long. So having said that, I must tell you that that is my position, and you're welcome to consult your own experts on the chair's ruling. But that is my position. And I will now ask the committee to please bear with us, those who I know have other commitments, to pass. If I may finish, the sentence, because I don't want to be saying unfriendly words to anyone. But if I may just finish this sentence, I would like to proceed to the Eastern Cape, of which only five of the current members sitting here, or seven, were actually on the trip. Honourable Harris was not. Honourable Njikalana was not, Honourable September was not. Am I correct? On the trip to Eastern Cape. Pardon? Right. So, having said that, we are going to have to move forward onto this, but I will now take your hand, Honourable Harris.
Thanks for your ruling, Chair. I didn't hear any comments on my suggestion that we, the committee, spend some time considering exactly how the sui generis option would look. I don't know if you have a view on that suggestion, but perhaps whatever view you have or don't have on that suggestion would indicate that you are accepting or rejecting the position from most of the people who came to the public hearings that we should, instead of working on the current bill on the table, reject it and consider a sui generis piece of legislation.
Thank you, Honourable Harris. The last spokesperson in this regard is Honourable September.
Chair, thank you very much for, of course, giving us that lengthy cruise between the history of this bill. Honourable Harris, the whip assisted you. Maybe we should ask him to repeat what he said, because if I recollect, not his precise words, but what he actually said, was that this committee should not preclude some other options. This might not have been your precise words, Honourable Khadebe. But and I thought that that assisted you. And I thought that Honourable Kotsi equally assisted you also in what she was saying. So I'm not sure, Chair, why we're having a repeat of what Honourable Harris is saying, because I would imagine that the minute will reflect sufficiently that there are various things that the committee could venture into. We are dealing with the bill as we're speaking here now, and you have said a number of things which I'm just not going to repeat, Chair. So I don't think there can be any suggestion then that the route should be to reject the bill. The ANC is absolutely satisfied with your summary and your ruling that you've made in this regard. We now look forward, Chair, to speak about the practicality of implementing your suggestion, and I would say that I want to ask, can't we find some time in this week, either with the management committee together with the task team,
to look at the practical implementation of the ruling that you have made, so that when we all leave here, we are clear which direction we're going to and who we're going to sort to put the different things together. Chair, I want to take the opportunity really to thank the state law advisor assistant and the legal, the parliamentary, because I think they've really assisted us and myself from time to time, asking them all these ridiculous things, and have asked, and they've guided us quite sufficiently, I think, to bring us to where we are, and we are satisfied from the ANC side with the pronouncements, the legal pronouncements that they've made on what they've said earlier. Chair, thank you very much. I have to leave this meeting. I also have to go to the Rules Committee, Chair, so I'm not sure if you still need a quorum now. If you can deal 5 minutes with your quorum stuff and then to let me get out, please.
Thank you for, at least meeting us halfway on the quorum. Thank you. So now what we're going to do is I also am going there, and I think it's in about myself. I have an apology until 11:15. But I said I would not take any other hands, and I'm not.
Sorry, I asked you a question with respect.
Yes, I'm going to respond to that. So, not taking any other hands, the issue referred to by yourself, Honourable Harris, concerning the sui generis, and is this not even, perhaps words to the effect, not even being considered, and so on and so forth, and I don't think it is what was put here. I said that we will begin this process, way forward, shall I put it that way, by identifying from the group that we have already, with whom we have already engaged in terms of consultation, the expert advice. If necessary, we will bring in someone else. And from what I understand in terms of the options, that has always been there. But we're not at this point. At this point, we're not rejecting anything. We're not adopting anything. That's not where we are. I hope I'm making myself very clear. We're taking, my ruling is referring to the way forward, and I have made it very clear that we require to engage with our consultants and experts, and that we need to look at the current bill as it stands before us. Should members during that process of amendment, etc., come to the conclusion in February, this is getting us nowhere, we've taken the wrong route, they will have that opportunity to say so. So I hope I'm making myself very clear. So for anyone now to print or to say, the chair says that we won't do X. What I did say is we're not throwing this bill out here now. We're not rejecting this bill now. I'm not offering you that position or choice. The ruling I've made is to say we will continue with the process. And this will be the route we go. So I'm leaving it now, because those who advise me on time limits and whom I've requested to do so have just indicated there's a need for me to just close my position on this now. It has been closed. I need to get an economic... I've also been asked by the committee secretary, is it possible for us to just put something together this week? The answer is no. There is no time for a committee meeting this week. I hope I'm clear on that. But on the 30th, we will allocate some time for the minutes here of today, plus to refine our way forward in the practicalities that you've referred to. The Eastern Cape report, have you managed to type that in? I gave it to you. I handed three people a copy of what we'd done, and Mr. Elbert Honourable Albert's characters handed us something. It's just unfortunate it wasn't typed in here. The conclusion which I have drafted on behalf of the committee reads as follows. A very constructive oversight in the manufacturing and industrial sector. I wanted to also add, and small industries, after hearing something Honourable Albert has said, but maybe we can just consider that. However, the committee was also fortunate, well not however, and the committee was also fortunate in having the opportunity to visit a number of downstream and upstream operations, including community-driven projects, and also micro-agro industries. I thought we could call them micro, some of those we saw. Full stop. The decision to directly link a committee meeting and a public hearing on the IP proved efficient and highly effective in ensuring the oversight role and work of the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry was better understood by members of the communities we visited and members of the committee. The acknowledgements would be thrown in, of course, and then the recommendations. We have one recommendation already. Would you like to read this into the record? And can someone give me one of these copies that I handed out, please? To you. No.
A concern that arose was that the community-driven projects were not supported in a holistic manner, but rather piecemeal, which results in unsustainable outcomes. Therefore, the DTR need to attend to this part of their operations.
Those of us who went on this trip, those of us who went on this trip will recall, I think the point, the one that operation that you are referring to, Honourable Albert, was one in which we went where small landholder or whatever had a group of people that had worked together to try and farm it. But at our request, we'd asked agriculture to be there as well as a few other people, CEDA, DTI, but it became very clear that certainly the intention was to do just that. But it was not very effective, this working together to ensure three things. One, the water situation, the marketing of what they were producing, so they'd have to almost stop and turn it into more of a subsistence operation. The collection of water, which could have been utilized in a, of course, creative manner from the hut or whatever, that wasn't done, but also the manner of enlarging it and taking it further down. A lot had to do with constraints of transportation as well as the actual farming, etc., what could be best utilized there. But there was an earnest commitment by the small group to continue. And most people wanted it all to work, but they indicated themselves that they were having these difficulties and challenges. Not that the department itself wasn't trying to do its best, but that there were these constraints. Does anyone want to say anything on that? Honourable Cox.
Chair, I think in the report, I'm sorry that I did not include, but I think in the report we should include the fact that according to the IGT rules, cooperatives should be 100 people. And in that group, there's only 11. Amongst us as members, there was a concern that we would, at the end, government would pour huge resources on a project that benefits few. And I think perhaps on those recommendations, I don't know whether it's us we should follow up with them, because if agriculture comes in and all these departments comes in, then the value that a result that have been poured in would not actually bring back the kind of benefit the majority of people. I think that is something that we need to put that and even follow it up as well, so that, that because amongst those people who could realize, even though there was, they had to grow, but we did find some resistance in a way, which was not showing itself openly, but there was something that is closing. But I think it is our responsibility to make sure that that group grows. Therefore, it means those NGOs and also department working there should actually try to enforce that so that there's good investment and return for what government has invested there. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I may have been misinformed about the rules meeting because they knew I was sitting in committee, but the information I received was that it was at 11:30 and that I would be asking the whip if necessary to just come in, but I also hope to close the meeting by 11:15. Is my watch and timepiece is wrong? I know I can't see down there.
Actually, I have got another engagement.
Oh, my apologies.
The room is at 11:30.
Okay. All right. Honourable...
I have a quorum, so it means I can go now.
I understand it would still be a quorum, but if anyone else leaves, it won't. you just send in a whip here. Honourable Kamalo, followed by Honourable Khadebe.
Thanks, Chairperson. On the very same group of 11 people, I think it raises serious concerns to a committee. Because if you were looking at the nature of farming that they were doing, it needs a lot of people to be involved. But in the manner in which they keep on gatekeeping, I think they need a huge assistance from the department as well as agriculture in order for other people to get involved. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't benefit, the huge amount of community, but only few people. I would love to second what Honorable Kutu was saying, in saying there should be a number of people, other people that should be put in order for them to see the necessity of the other people to join that cooperative. Otherwise, they'll be remain in that number, and it will remain the property of the individual. Thanks.
Honourable Kamala, I don't know if you've got the Eastern Cape report with you just in front of you, have you?
Chairperson, I do have in my documents, but I did not bring here because I only came late in the meeting because of the traffic then.
I just lend you this copy here. As I see, it's under Zamuwetu Co-op. Is that correct? And it's on page 10 here. I'm just giving that to you. I do have another copy. And on just in this area, Honourable Khadebe, you've heard the points that were made. I need to wrap up the point, though. Honourable Khadebe?
All right, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, in order to help you, I'll go first to the input of Honourable Albert. Really, we support that. I think that one was also in our BRR. We support that. Out of the way. Even the second one, the issue of gatekeeping, and according to it must also be supported. Ne? It must go through. And then I'll go to our PR report, 7.2, the issue of the support for the SMEs and corporations by the development finance institutions. That one must be taken as a recommendation here. Ne? It must just be rejected as a recommendation. I think that's the critical part. And then, all right. Oh, the other one again. Honorable Chair, the other issue will be the issue of water around Umtata. I think that there's a big dam around Umtata whereby the water bypasses the people, the business people around that area. So I think that we must make a call that the department must interact with water affairs to ensure that the water does not bypass the people so that it can stimulate businesses around Umtata, because I think it's the one, it was the former nodal point which was identified by the then President Thabo Mbeki. I think the issue of water must come in there. Thank you, Chair.
It's a very good point because, you know, I didn't go, or perhaps I did, I know we did at one stage separate one to the weaving and one group to something else. And some of those were operating as co-ops and I thought were very effective, but then they were larger, you know. But I think something that we haven't put out very clearly in our report, and maybe we need to consider as a recommendation, the issue of transport linkages makes it virtually impossible to grow this agro-industry effectively. You know, and it wasn't just this group. I mean, wherever we went, that became clear. What's the point of starting something if you can't transport it anywhere, you see? So it becomes almost a subsistence model. So I think we do need to make a reference. And this is what we mean about, it even links to IPAP then, this, but the integrated approach of IPAP that does require critical transport, especially in respect of agro-industries and marketing, etc. Because there's that side of it. I was quite horrified to learn they may have to take all their produce in on a taxi they'd hired. You can't go that route for very long. Yeah, so we've got to keep that there. On the other hand, you know, under the conclusion, which we don't really have here, under conclusion, we should perhaps have said, I did give the conclusion, yes, but I think I wanted to ask the committee a question. Should we be more specific in noting, the vehicle industry? About, you know, the local, and just say that, you know, we welcomed the significant increase in local content under conclusion. Do you remember this issue? That was simply one. But I think the other one here, we may need to make a reference to Kucha. We went there. We've been talking about it in every committee, what is going on there. Just because this is an old report doesn't mean to say it shouldn't have been here. You know, it's old and we would have said it already. And I do think a comment on Kucha is warranted, a recommendation on, say, the vehicle. So would you agree in principle about the local content? I'm just looking at you. If I have an objection, yeah. Honorable Khadebe?
Honorable Chair, I think that the issue of recognizing that must be in the report because it shows that the intervention which were made by the department, they are bearing fruit. That was the first thing. So that one must be recognized. Also, the issue of Kucha or the ITZ, in particular, the challenges of corporate governance, of ownership, I think that one must also be resolved because the issue of treasury, province, local municipality, who's the who in the zoo there, I think that one must also recommend that aspect of the ITZ must be resolved so that we can have real growth around those areas.
Madam Chair, I think with regards to Kucha, what was surprising to me is that there's no tax incentive for companies who go there. And while that might not be within our domain to talk about that, it might be something we want to touch upon for the Minister of Finance to look into. I think tax incentives will really drive growth in that area as opposed to just hosting companies at the moment. Thank you.
I think that's more a matter for the conclusion, possibly. I don't know. I'm looking around me at the group. Honorable Njikalana?
Thanks, Chair. Although I did not, I was more part of the trip, but just that on the issue of the cooperative, the number of people in a cooperative, I'm not sure of that figure because it says according to what DTI stipulates. I would just be keen if Ms. Sarot Naidu could just quickly check with the people in the department the number. I trust what I suspect the people who attended or the committee would like to see is that there should be a
a change in the number of the minimum number of members is being recommended, because there is a stipulation in the according to the Act or the regulations of a minimum number of members in each cooperative. I'm just triggering a debate that is that what people are saying, because if that's the then it means we must refer to the number there. I think it's far lower than 100. Yeah, I'm not sure of the number. That's the one. And number two, I was looking at BRRR and 7.3. It doesn't seem to me there's a link with 7.2, not 3. The last one, Chair, although still our sister, that in terms of what you're saying in on the east of roads, wouldn't it be better to talk about the infrastructure as a whole, maybe say particularly access to transport? Because generally, you know, Africa, including South Africa, you find that in the rural hinterland, there's always a challenge of infrastructure, particularly for economic activities. Thanks.
You know, Honourable Njikalana, as you say, although you weren't there, in many ways you've read the report and you're also bringing to bear some other background information on this, can I just ask you, is it possible for you to draft a three-line sort of point for either the conclusion or the resolutions? We're running against the time, please, in that so we can at least hear it. The support here has already been referred to, and it's just going to be typed in, and you'll see it typed in. Okay, so it'll be coming in now. The other thing you mentioned about tax incentives, and certainly the issue of incentives were referred to by the Minister or DG, you will recall, in the in the briefing or response on the BBC. And we'll just get maybe the committee secretary just to check on that. But, you know, what we're really recommending, this is a this industry provides a lot of work down there, you know, and so on. And that is a way of even growing it further, as it were. And I think that's really what you're saying in that regard, particularly those who've absolutely put in local, you know, components and the like. I mean, they've actually done what ITAP was asking. So I think that we'll just put that together and get it typed in, Honourable Albert. On the, you know, the infrastructure, I honestly think that this is critical. But we need to, on the one hand, reflect broadly where it is reflected on the in the report. And then possibly my question to you would be, as a committee, do you want it in the conclusion or recommendation? That's the issue. Anyone may talk now. So it's not that whether we should put it in, but where should it be placed? This is the one on infrastructure and transport, etc., that Njikalana was referring to. Honourable Njikalana. You know, right.
Honourable Chairperson, I think that it must go to the conclusion, because the department does not have a control of the infrastructure program. It must go to the conclusion so that the relevant department then will act on that.
The issue, according to some of the points we've also been given, again by the DG, it would seem, and so on. The issue here, if you recall, during our visit, was that they did need to clarify and almost harmonize the relationship currently with the municipality having certain, not control, but having been a stakeholder, National Treasury, the province, as well as, you know, Kuka itself and DTI. And how is this all brought together to ensure the sustainability of a very constructive project, if you like, so that they can, you know, achieve the investments and the project that was intended, the productive investment there. Now, you will recall that one of the points made is that you need to invest money. You need to put money in, not 50 rand or 100 rand or 1 million. You need to put a significant amount of investment in to attract that investment from overseas and elsewhere. And the reason for that is also to do with the guarantees and so on. So we do have a response from the annual report position there given by the minister that, as a matter of fact, they totally agree that this investment will be made, significant investment in Kucha, to enable the concretization of a lot of the plans that have had to be almost shelved and in some instances lost, if you recall, Honourable Alberts. They referred to some investments that have now waned and no longer there. So this would be, and I think we need to support that. When it comes to incentives, I think I'm asking again, should this be in the conclusion or the recommendations? If we go to the recommendations, do we call for the department to consider, perhaps working with SARS, because the thing is they don't actually put the tax there. We can't say this to SARS, you see, per se. So perhaps it should go to the conclusion rather, and to say where it comes to not simply Kucha, but a number of these issues, it has become clear that perhaps the MIDP may not be sufficient to dramatically increase this, but rather that they may, the committee would appreciate it if the department would consider linking a tax incentive directly to the a productive investment. Can we put it that way? Does anyone have something else in mind? See, the reason I withdraw from recommendations, although and the recommendations, you can then talk about perhaps that the department should consider reviewing the incentive structure, if you like, to consider, to consider the utilization of tax to encourage. So you could get it around it there rather than refer to Treasury, per se, or SARS. But now I need a decision from yourselves. Anyone may speak, because we're talking on a position of principle and not the visit to the Eastern Cape, per se. Yes, Honourable Albert.
Manager. Yeah, it doesn't really matter whether it's in the recommendations or in the conclusion. As long as it's there and it will be noted, it won't just disappear somewhere among paperwork, and it actually will be noted by the Department of Finance who is dealing with this issue. That's the most important thing, because I think it's a valid concern.
All kinds of ways of linking this through IPAP, productive investment. How do you encourage it more and more? We need to look at other instruments as well. Yes, Honourable Khadebe.
Honourable Chairperson, I would have preferred that aspect to be in the recommendations, because when you look at the DTI itself, it deals with a lot of incentives per se. But then we coach it in such a way, for example, you can link it with IPEP. I think then it will have covered as properly, because I think that one is too important to note somewhat.
And certainly it would be a high labor absorption, as well. So one of the issues raised on our visit, I can't find the spot in the report if it's even reflected there, is that Kocha was quite out the way, in inverted commas. And did everyone know about Kocha, which sat some distance, and again, in inverted commas, from the city or the villages and so on and so forth? You know, it's there to stay, that's for sure. How do you make it more? Shouldn't these large operations also be, advertising, making these things known in the areas that they hope to attract workers? Because it's not just the investors you want to attract. You also want to attract the workers and small businesses, as it were. And a lot of people didn't seem to know about it because it's out the way. Certainly people who are on the internet every 5 minutes knew about it, can I put it that way? So I wonder if there's anything that we can say that should be marketed more to make workers aware of opportunities. I don't know. Or small businesses. Well, are we way out now? Because we need to close. That was the only thing I wanted to say. Of course, there's absolute silence, and I don't want to say silence means yes, because there's a lot of silence here. Honourable Njikalana.
Well, Chair, that's my humble intention.
Honourable Khadebi, let's close this now.
Honourable Chairperson, I think that's the last aspect on the advertising of artists is appropriate. I think it's correct. Let's leave it at that.
Okay. Can we leave it like that?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Honourable Kamala.
No, just a small thing. It's an error that has made by the, officials, I suppose, on the participants of the members on the very same visit, whereby myself is not, my name is not appearing there as well as Libenya. I think that is just omitted mistakenly.
It's a serious omission. This is why I'm asking, have you looked at this report, honourable members? Let's just say the members, Fabs, Khadebi, Line, Mabasa, Khobasa, Marais, Van der Westhuizen, Kotzi, Albert, Herman, Zerling. Before all the Albert, Herman, Hermans, or what is it, Herman, Zerling issue, you need to put Kamala there with the ANC.
Kumalo and Libenya, in fact, because Libenya was also there. Okay. Libenya and Dan.
Yeah, you see, I'm born to just attend meetings. Your name has just left off and you can't correct it. And then when your party's not here, who does correct it? Honourable Albert.
Madam Chair, I just noted that the DA's, Mr. Antikas from the Westhuizen, is also not mentioned here, and he was on that tour as well.
Well, I don't know. Who's the other A van der Westhuizen?
Oh, there he is. Sorry, I didn't see that. Okay.
No, we have sometimes forgotten him. It was an oversight during the oversight, the writing of the oversight report. no, we're only being facetious. I'm glad you all have a sense of humour after our deliberations today. Look, Margaret, Honourable, Miss Hurling, have you finished what you had to do? So can we just give her 2 minutes, and those who were running to take comfort breaks, can they take their last comfort breaks because we're closing off? See, no more comfort breaks. Right. But we want to close off now. What is the time? 11. Yeah, I don't want to walk in late. I have that reputation. I don't want to underline the reputation now. Yeah. Right. Look, some of these things are at the chair's discretion, really. And it's all there is to it. Where are these things? There's a WTO. We had a list here. Very recently, I was asked by the ambassador Ambassador Faisal Ishmael. Oh, you know, there's a group out here. Can't they come and talk to the committee and come? And you all know how busy we were There would have been no way we could sit with them and find an hour. It wouldn't have been possible. Look at how we are today. So I said, well, look, it's not going to be possible. I don't know. I don't want to do this alone. I think that even though members of the DA were not there, the members that are now currently with us, now's the time for them to jump in. So I thought that it could be very useful then for the whip to accompany me as the whip of the committee to breakfast tomorrow morning. Honourable Harris, as the leading the opposition and the committee representing, the Honourable Kotze, and I did ring you on this one, didn't I? And she confirmed, and I think Honourable Harris confirmed, Honourable Sadebi, I've got a nod there, yeah. And then myself, obviously. Now, at this point in time, I see no problem to inviting Honourable Albert Salong, who was there, who could, but I mean, I really leave that up to you. It's short notice. It's tomorrow morning at 8 at the townhouse, unless the venue is changed. Comments from any one of you? Is that everyone wants to go for breakfast? Now, you must try and be there no later than 8:05. But if some of you want to leave at 9:45, you know, townhouse, and they want to leave. Now, the reason we've gone to the townhouse, because it's a buffet type of service. You help yourself, you eat, and then that you pay. We leave this group here to pay, settle a bill, and the tip and anything else that needs to be settled in line with Parliament's rulings. Now that, I understand, comes out of the chairperson's budget, does it? I only learned, as you know, the other day that I even had a budget, so, which was at my discretion. We're finished. Is that agreed? Is it? Oh, the budget. No, I didn't want to go buying sweets and things like that, so, and I had no time to be using it for anything else. Honourable Kajebi.
Honourable Chairperson, I don't know how many people will be meeting tomorrow. Because, how many?
If the whip can't be there, then I would hope you would really. So, but the other thing is Kumba, another parachuted in. Well, it's not. I'd hate the chairperson of mining to be hearing me talk about a parachuted invitation when it wasn't. It's been there for so long, I actually was under the whip, I forgot. And he's constantly phoned me, even this morning. You said you were interested in coming. Why is there a problem? I spoke to Kadebi, Honourable Kadebi, before the meeting. I said, I cannot go. I cannot be released from my province on Monday, the 22nd. I cannot. And I arrived at the 22nd. It's a one-day thing. Said, please can he take my place there as the DTI. Secondly, we asked Honourable Smalley to go, seeing as I had already consulted with Honourable Harris, who thought, yes, that could be a good thing. And then Honourable Alberts. Now, I don't know if, but again, that is the chair's decision, but I like to share these things with you. Honourable Alberts, will you be able to go along to Kumba or whatever, mine on the 22nd November, Monday?
Monday. Actually, no, I do have another arrangement. Yeah.
Honourable Kotze? No. Well, in that case, we'll ask another ANC member. Honourable, just put a name forward. with the sort of proposing and also hoping I would agree then, Honourable Kabasa, will you please come along on Monday the 22nd? The committee secretary will deal with the issue. I have, that's all I need from you. The researcher, I'm told, we ought to send him along to get his feet wet. So, where is he? Now that we need him to get his feet wet. And tell him to take a laptop. Right, thank you very much. Now we'll come back to this piece of this report, the Eastern Cape. Members, let's not delay. Put your hand up if you have a problem with anything. We're going to start. The trip visit particularly, visits to various projects further confirmed the dire. I don't think we need to be putting dire in. Who's confirmed the, we'll use another word other than dire, confirmed the need for intensive investment related to rural economic development. And you know, I wonder if you couldn't just put agro-industry there, you see, because, or are we saying something else? Now, this implies that coherent and integrated into the part, this implies that A, coherent and integrated interdepartmental approach as expected in such activities must be intensified. For example, IPEP to an agro industry. But yeah, it's up to you, committee. That's what I would like to add. Were you thinking broadly, Honourable Njikalana?
I was thinking very fast, given the time.
I'm happy if we add that. Right. Next point. Furthermore, the portfolio committees linked to the relevant departments need to start coordinating. You know, members, I don't want to dictate to my sister committee chairs or the committees. I don't know if that's our, we falling under the speaker. So what we can say is that it would be constructive if, as part of the cross, what do they call this, cross-sectoral mandates that portfolio committees have in respect of economics and IPEP 2 can link up more closely, I don't know, during oversight. Would you agree on that point? Can link up more closely on oversight, as is happening with trade and industry and what's the other thing called mining. You follow? We're doing that on an issue of, well, we don't even have to put the issue. Can we leave it like that? And then you've got, you know, it's quite interesting. They can link up more closely, full stop. This will, then you see the relevant departments. Just go further down. I want to go further down to see what it says after relevant departments. Need to start, especially on the economic, right, well, rural, you can put these in. So this, this could enhance the oversight over respective departments. As you see, we've each got our own department as the portfolio. Can we leave it there? Right. Can we go to infrastructure? Lack of access to infrastructure, particularly transport, makes growing agricultural developing, I wonder, because, I mean, it's a pun there, isn't it? Growing, agriculture's growth. Developing agricultural cooperatives in rural areas, unviable, unsustainable. I would... unsustainable. Does someone have that figure about the size of a co-op yet? The minimum is 5 currently under the 2004 legislation. Bearing in mind that there is other legislation coming before the committee. So it would depend on your recommendation now. Is a co-op of five, there's a criticism of the Act. Is it sustainable? Or is it the intention? Touch it just yet. I mean, because the reality is, under the current Act, a co-op may be launched with five people. I suppose it doesn't even matter if it's your uncle and aunt and grandmother. But I can't comment further than that, honourable members. You've got the legislation yourself. This is why we're amending it as well. Right. So we may just say makes agricultural cooperatives in rural areas often unsustainable. Put the word often in there. The automotive industry welcomed... The committee welcomed what? Welcomed the development, the increase. The significant increase in local content in the automotive, the vehicle, in particular, is it the Polo or whatever? What did it have? I don't know, VW. What has it got? 75, no, isn't it 65, 75. Okay, in the automotive industry in particular, the new version, or what do they call it, new model of Polo. Oh, well, the new Polo model, that's all English. Then you need to say, this needs to be encouraged. In other industries in this area. Leave it like that. It's broad, it's all kinds of things. Can we just leave it there? Or do you want it now to link up tax incentives there? Honourable Khadebe?
Chairperson, I think we can leave it at that, né? But also deal with the issue of, you know, when VW... it also increased the component industry around itself. Né? I think that one is very important. It must be covered here.
At Ms. Erling. Yeah, look, they're now building the, what do you call these things? I don't want to call them undercarriages. What are these things called? The chassis. Remember. And I mean, that's got to be a new thing for South Africa. That we will be developing our own chassis here on the spot, which is more to the point why the steel industry ought to get in line. Can we move? Recommendations. Let's put the key one first. Now just go through them first. The DTI in conjunction with the EDD must intensify support for this, that, and together. Together, the DTI... together with the EDD as part of IPEP 2. Why are we now telling the EDD to do something? Because of that issue. Not because we've got that authority per se. They've got their own portfolio committee. Yes, there. Well, I don't know what the phrase was now, weren't you typing? The DTI, together with the EDD, not must, should intensify support for the SMEs and co-ops through their DFIs as part of IPEP 2 to successfully broaden the participation of historically disadvantaged groups and broaden participation of historically disadvantaged groups and productive investment. It's not just historically disadvantaged per se, but it's the productive investment coming in. Right. A concern that arose was that the community-driven projects were not supported in an holistic manner, but rather a piecemeal, which resulted in
Chair, I sometimes forgot these things. We don't have them in my Ranting village. Yeah. No, Jefferson, the paragraph that we have just dealt with, at the end of it, there is something in grammatically incorrect there. In rural areas, in the economy. Yeah.
Was that the community-driven projects, etc., which resulted in unsustainable outcomes, full stop, you need to make the reference, or do we, members, to the project we visited, or do we leave it? Included anyway, but you may have wanted to just repeat it. Therefore, the DTI should address the issue of lateral linkage with other. Lateral linkage with entities falling under them in this regard and other, departments. And other departments. Piecemeal. To avoid unsustainable outcomes. And then you take that which resulted out there. You see. To avoid unsustainable outcomes, take as part of the operations out. So you say support in an holistic manner, but rather piecemeal, full stop. Therefore, and then you come to the point you're making again. Can you see that, Honourable Elders? I think this is one of yours, I can't remember, or fan. Now, seeing as you've put this forward, you're happy with that as it is. I don't see a hand from you. Right. Then we need to come, DTI is encouraged to consider the utilization of a tax incentive of promotion. Do they supply tax incentives, or does SARS? To consider the utilization of a tax incentive tax incentives, don't say the utilization, tax incentives linked to IDZs. To attract investments to and promote the objectives of ICE. Do you have a problem with that, Honourable Members? Are we all agreed now? Because I want to us move now. Just a minute. Well, what issue? All right, there's Cooker IDZ. Challenges of ownership and cooperative governance should be resolved to promote, should be resolved. Let's take all these musts out to promote real growth in the developmental state. Now, well, maybe I shouldn't be saying that. Now everyone's going to start raising their hands except the ANC. Yeah, developmental state. Significant investments in bulk infrastructure should be made to attract foreign direct investment there. Marketing, leave the advertising alone. Marketing will take care of advertising. Marketing IDZs appropriately to improve accessibility by both potential investors and workers. But it's also small business, you see. It's not just the workers and these big things. It's also those small... remember we saw the fridge issue, not the fridge, the freezing stuff. Do you remember? And it's also small business. Yeah, fine, that's fine. Conclusion, let's just move now. No, well, I think we've tackled infrastructure or not. That must go into conclusion. Lack of access, exceptly that makes... But we said that. Right. And Honourable Kamala had raised one. Nature of farming requires more people to be involved. Can we link... are you happy that is sufficiently linked, Honourable Kamala? Are you happy it's sufficiently linked, or should we add it? Another point. Give us the actual recommendation where this was done. It's cooperatives, isn't it, or not? So then where the co-ops, just wait, let's just get to co-ops, please. Lack of access. Yes, why not put it there? Is that what you're saying, Honourable Kamala?
I don't have a problem, it can't be linked there.
Now I'll tell you what else is there. Honourable Kotze, where's Honourable Kotze?
Yes, Chair, I think Honourable Kumalo's issue was linked to the fact that, with the kind of farm, you can't have very few people. So it's linked with the number, with the enlargement. That's right.
We need to point out that in the committee's opinion, but then perhaps that should be under the five. We know the Act is coming under conclusion that, the current requirement in the Act for a minimum of five can create problems for such projects to develop and benefit the broader community. Or perhaps the co-op isn't intended, but I'm sure it is. To create jobs, etc. So what we're asking for is the current membership in the co-ops, which stands at five, to be that an increase to this number be considered. It falls under the DTI.
There's resources being, government poor resources. If you put in millions and only five people benefiting, then it's not sustainable. I think it should be linked to how much the government is actually putting in terms of resources.
Membership of five can negatively impact on the sustainability of co-ops. I don't think it's the sustainability of co-ops per se. The current membership of five register a co-op or something. Does not achieve the objective. The twin objectives, because there's two. The twin objectives to create employment and grow the local economy. That's what that's all about.
Those are two. One was that let's create jobs using co-ops. The other one, of course, was to grow the economy there. It does not achieve the twin objectives to grow the local economy effectively. They are growing something there, but it's not all that effective, effectively. Therefore, in the amendments to the Co-op Act, the size of the co-op should be reviewed. Is that what we're saying? Size of the membership. Is that what we're asking for? Members' silence. Now that means yes.
Let me say, because I raised this, Chair. I raised this because government put in, say, 2 million and then the 5 people benefiting. My point is that that money, there is no value for what we have actually invested as government. Therefore, it should be linked. The amount of actual resources poured in should be linked to the number of beneficiaries. That was my issue, and I think that this could be put properly.
Therefore, in the amendments to the Cooperative Act, the size of membership should be reviewed against the resources supporting the resources allocated to this by government. That's basically, it's not one government department, it's a variety. And we leave it there, members. The twin objectives, because they are, it was to grow employment. You know, let's not forget that. Right, can we move down? Okay. Well, upwards, please. Polo models and the like. Comrade Honourable Coxie, so we're then taking some of this out then. Can you remove what has to go out so the committee has... Oh, Honourable Njikalana, we're passing this report. I really can't release you. We're passing it now, this minute. And I'm running to rules myself. This minute and 30 seconds, please. Right. Members, can I just have, in particular, those... proposing and seconding who were on the trip. Proposed by the Honourable Kotze, seconded by the Honourable Kamalo and Alberts, please. Now, members, this is your report. We're not going to proceed to minutes. I would like the minutes studied so that we pass them on the 1st of December. Please. I'm really appealing. Anyone with a problem with the minutes, and more will be sent to you, send these changes. A request for changes will be put in italics against your name. Can we do it like that? Fine. On that basis, members, officially, let me say, we've come to the formal, in a lot of ways, closure of this committee in line with Parliament. However, it has not prevented us pursuing the Companies Amendment Bill in public hearings and minutes and the committee report. And we would expect all members of the committee, full-time members, to be present. If for some reason you can't, can you please get an alternate here from your respective political party? I would certainly hope that on this critical bill, every member of this committee will be present full-time. And I will ask the committee secretary to liaise individually with you to regarding travel arrangements. Is that an order? Please don't come through me with travel arrangements. Go through the committee secretary. That's travel arrangements for Kumba. It's travel arrangements for the 30th and the 1st. Please don't catch a plane at 10 o'clock for the 30th, from wherever you're coming. If you're coming from something that requires two planes, kindly leave the night before. Please. We want to start at 9. Thank you.
Sir, I've already had a traveling arrangement to come on the 30th because there is a meeting for private members that will sit on the very same date. However, I think it won't take long. I will be able to also attend the very same committee's meeting for trade and industry.
Take your advance notice of that, Honourable Kamalo. Is there any member who has already got a prior arrangement? Honourable Njikalala.